Today's scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord our God.
Father, as we come to this passage this morning, we want to say our eyes are blind, our ears are deaf, our hearts are stubborn before you. So we pray, Lord, open our eyes, open our ears, and melt our hearts down so that we may receive these words from you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people said, Amen. I want us to focus on the last verses that Peggy read for us this morning, and I want us to read this two verses to drive the message home. Let us read these two verses together. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. So this man has experienced great healing from Jesus. How did this happen? Jesus and his followers travel across the lake. Now, this destination is a non-Jewish destination. It has Gentile people in it, people who not grow up in the Jewish culture. And that is why probably they raise a large herd of pigs there. And the people call this man a demon-possessed man. Imagine as you go on through life, you are called a demon-possessed man. And he could not live with the people but lived in the tombs. And he had odd behavior and often shouted in the middle of town. And they chained him hand and foot and tried to keep him under guard. But he broke through the chains and was driven out of the town because of the demons. So Jesus asks the man, "What is your name?" "Legion. Because many demons have gone into me." A legion. A legion is a group of 6,000 soldiers in the Roman army. And so there are that many demons residing in this man. And the Greek word that is used to describe the impact of the demons on this man is carries the meaning of arresting someone. So these many demons, 6,000 demons, arrested the man and kept him in chains and tombs. So today, as you come to respond back to God, to worship God, what arrests you? What chains you? What keeps you in the tombs? As I am the pastor to most of you, I have had the privilege of chatting and praying with you. And the plight of this demon-possessed man represents, I feel, the chains and burdens that we carry with us in our lives. And as I've prayed with you through life's journey, we've prayed about many struggles. Struggles with health, struggles with family, struggles with work, struggles with finances. And we find ourselves sometimes chained in these experiences. And we find it difficult to get out of these struggles we have. So Jesus is intentional about going across the lake and coming to this non-Jewish place. And probably he doesn't even know who he's going to meet there, because legion comes out to meet him. But we know from the way the words are written at the beginning of this passage that Jesus is on a mission to save this man. And it's the same with us. Jesus comes to the very dark places of our lives to give us light. Jesus comes to the places in our lives where we might still be in chains, and he comes to deliver us. Jesus comes to the very places of our lives where we experience chaos, and he comes to bring order to those places. So how does this man react to Jesus? How do the demons in this man react to Jesus? When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting to the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." So the demons in this man are afraid of Jesus, and they beg him not to send them into the abyss reserved for the devil and his demons, but to send them to the pigs. And they go to the pigs, and the pigs rush into the lake and drown. So it is not only the demons who think twice about Jesus. The people from the nearby town also do not respond positively to Jesus. Those who are raising this herd of pigs as a means of livelihood are angry, because they are now deprived of their means of livelihood. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And these are the key words. And they were afraid. What will they do with Jesus? And we see here that their response is one of rejection. The people from this region ask Jesus and his followers to leave because they are overcome with fear. This man whom they've seen go all over the place and living in the tombs, even though he might be in chains, is in his right mind and sitting at Jesus' feet. And they cannot handle that. And they cannot handle that Jesus has deprived them of that large herd of pigs. What does this say for us? Sometimes when Jesus brings healing and salvation in our lives, it disturbs us. Jesus gets to the very core of who we are, and very often when Jesus gets to the very core of who we are, it is painful. It is painful. And when he begins to clean up the mess in our lives, it is also painful. So what do we do when Jesus comes to us? What will we do with Jesus? Would we want to reject him the way the people of the town did? Or would we want to sit next to him like the man who was healed of the many demons in his life? Whatever it is, I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is intentional in your life. Jesus wants to get to the very core of you, and he wants to heal you. He wants to save you. So he meets Legion, and Legion falls at Jesus' feet. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torture me. So we have it in this particular passage that demons themselves acknowledge who Jesus is. And who is Jesus according to these demons in the passage? He is the Son of the Most High God. He is the second person of the Trinity. And Jesus, by his authority, commands these evil spirits to come out of the man. Okay? And the Greek word that is translated in Luke 8:36 as healed or cured can also be translated as saved. It's very important for us to remember this because we have this very narrow definition of salvation. We think that salvation means that we get saved from the fires of hell when we die. Whereas if you look at the Greek word here, it means that Jesus not only heals this man, Jesus not only cures this man, Jesus saves this man. Jesus saves this man from his life of torture and pain. And Jesus, so he is very grateful to Jesus. Jesus and his followers must leave now soon because the crowds are getting restless about their presence. So what is this future for this man who was formerly called Legion? What is his future? The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. Who wouldn't? But Jesus sent him away saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. So how will this man fare now that Jesus tells him to return home and tell others how much God has done for him? They are used to him shouting, being undressed and living in the tombs. And now he's a man in his right mind and sitting next to Jesus. And he wants to keep on sitting next to Jesus. But Jesus gives him a mission. Go home and tell. Go home and tell. So these words, return home and tell how much God has done for you, these words in this passage have a personal meaning for me. I was born in Malaysia and grew up in a Christian family. Both my parents became Christians because of missionaries. However, there was a mental illness in my family. My father suffered and still suffers from a mental illness. And my late mother grew up with an alcoholic father. So she is, for all intents and purposes, counselors would call her an adult child of an alcoholic. So there was a lot of unhappiness in my home growing up, though we were Christians and went to church. And right from an early age, I was confronted with this question. How could the God of love allow so much suffering in my life? It was something, this question plagued me for most of my childhood. So when I was age 14, I went to a church family camp at a seaside resort. And on the first night, the speaker challenged people to take Christ seriously. So I was confronted with this question. These questions, rather. Is there a God? And if there is God, how do I relate to him? Did he really send Jesus to die for my sins? Did he really send Jesus to save me? So that night I was struggling with God. Suffering is real. However, the question of the saving God appeared to me to be very distinct from suffering. Yes, the question of suffering still exists in my life. But I had to decide, even though the suffering was real, does and did God really save me through Jesus? I gave my life to Christ that night. And that night, that speaker also preached on this message about Jesus saving this wild man from his demons. He also said that It was a great family camp, but when we go home, we have to remember these words of Jesus. Return home and tell how much God has done for you. Go home and tell your family and friends how much God has done for you. So I remember going home the night after the camp, and I talked to Mom in the kitchen, and because these words were at the back of my mind, I had to go home and tell people at home how much God has done for me. So I told my late mother that I gave my life to Jesus at the camp. She was so overjoyed and gave me 3 big kisses. So according to Mark, the next time when Jesus is in this region, this non-Jewish region, this Gentile region that doesn't have any Jews at all, he gets to preach to and feed 4,000 people. So how do these 4,000 people know who Jesus is when he returns to this place? Why would they want to listen to Jesus? My guess is that this man, who had been saved from his life of pain and misery, told his family and friends about Jesus. The nearby town and the surrounding area heard about what God had done for him through Jesus. And so the next time when Jesus came to the town, he wasn't chased out. They wanted to hear more from him. Let us pray. Lord, we just like to thank you for these words here. And you've saved us. And you call us to go home and tell. Go home, tell our family, our friends, our schoolmates, our workmates about Jesus, about what God has done in our lives. And so we pray, Lord, we pray that you would give us the courage and the strength to do that in our Monday lives. So we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the people said, Amen.